Stand up and worship together this morning.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. Wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead me by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough.
Is enough, and you've sung enough. Have a seat. Good to have you here this morning, Harbor of Joy. Good to see everyone here as well. You know, it's much cooler if you sit up front. Just want you to know that, okay? We have some announcements here that are not in the bulletin, and one's a real strange one. If there's anyone here who knows of a cat burglar, or someone who can open up an old safe, because this person has lost the combination or does not know the combination to an old safe. If you know of someone who can do that, see Cheryl Meyer. Cheryl, where are you? Right there. So talk to her if you know of someone, or if you can do it yourself, or you say, like, no problem, I got it. I got the touch right here. and I've been in jail for 20 years because of it. But no, that might, you know, you might be used in that way of opening and helping out Cheryl here today. Another one would be with Vacation Bible School coming up, Mary Ann Seifer. I'm going to have you come on up here because I know you have a lot to say about what's going on. How many? Well, it's okay. We'll be done by 12. So I'll give you this. Can I take this? It's on.
I promise. I'll try really hard to make it short, but you all know me. If you know me, you know I'm wordy, so I'll do my best.
Are you done?
No. I just want to real fast say something personal. Thank you for all your prayers that you've gone and done for me. I felt them, and I loved them, and I appreciate you very much. I had a little bump in the road, onward and forward. God's got it. Mm-hmm. First off, mark two dates on your calendar if you'd like to decorate the lunchroom for Vacation Bible School. We always have a blast. And we'll need that help on July 24th, which is a Thursday, probably just in the morning. I predict that's all it'll take. I think that's all we'll need. But just in case of emergency, we have July 25th, the next day, Friday. We'll finish definitely in the morning. Having said that, if you're curious when is Vacation Bible School, it'll be that following Monday for 4 days. So please see me after church if you're one of those volunteers that would like to help on the 24th in the morning. Our theme this year is God's Big Heart Farm, which features the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Today I come before you because I have two big needs. Everybody open your ears. I'm going to beg. I'm going to plead. I'm going to encourage you. Please go home to your own house after church today or sometime soon. Go through, clean out, give me all your old magazines that you're ready to not have returned. You'll never see them again if you give them to me. But we're going to use those magazines to search through and find pictures that display, personify, show children the nine fruits of the Spirit. That's about our theme. Our theme is, I hope I'm not repeating myself, is God's Big Heart Farm. And so that's my first need. If you could do that, that would be great. Find those magazines, bring them to the front entryway of the church here, put them in the foyer where there's a big box, and we'll take it from there. That brings me to my second biggest need. This is my first call out for help. I'm praying that God will speak to some of the hearts of the women and men. We can use men also. Those magazines, we have 3 weeks to go through them methodically, slowly. We're looking for large photos better than tiny little ones that again display, personify, show the children the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're curious, I'm going to read them off to remind you. Love and joy, they're easy photos to find. Peace, a little harder. Patience, ooh, that's a toughie. That's why we need 3 weeks to find photos. Kindness, not too bad. Goodness, good. Faithfulness, lots of pictures of Jesus and the cross. Gentleness, I left the last one, self-control. That's a hard one. We may turn to the computer. We may turn to some free images that speak of self-control and print them off on our home computers. That would be awesome. We want a large space, 54 by 54 inches, to display those photos. So after church today, that second need of mine, besides magazines, is for 6, 8, maybe 10 people to join me and Cheryl Meyer around the corner in the lunchroom. Come join us and we'll show you what we're wanting to accomplish for the kids that we call children in this community that are, some of them unchurched, most of them unchurched. They're calling Harbor Joy their church. And Vacation Bible School is a time that we can talk to them about inviting the Holy Spirit to live in their heart and grow the fruits of the Spirit. And that's our opportunity. It's one of many reasons, maybe the top reason, why I love this church so much. Because we know we don't have a lot of children at all in this church, but we go that extra mile for our Lord. He calls us to do it, and we can reach these kids because of Harbor of Joy. I'm so impressed with this church, and I will end it by just saying, I love all of you very much. Today's a good day for me because I get to see your faces. John and I are in the process of moving back. For me right now, I'm still kind of doctoring in Sioux Falls, but in 2 to 3 weeks, I hope to be back here and see all these beautiful photos that have been clipped out for us. Okay, Tim.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Wow. Them kids have no idea what's in store for them. But thank you very much. You do this every year.
I love it.
And the decorating, and I know Bruce Osher loves it too. Don't you, Bruce? So come and be a part of decorating along the way here. Just a few announcements, because I don't want to keep the praise band standing up here the whole time here, but this coming week, there is something special for you ladies. There is a ladies' salad that is being planned here at Harbor of Joy. I'll be here at, what time is that?
11:30.
Oh, yeah, 11:30. And you're supposed to, do you have to bring a salad?
Yes.
You bring a salad. You bring yourself. You bring your fork and your spoon. Maybe you don't have to do that, but bring a canned good that can go into the blessing box. That would be another thing to bring with you. And there's a sign up, I believe, that is out in the fellowship room there. Look for a sign up just so they kind of know how many to plan for, type of a thing. But that's for the ladies. And remember, that's this coming Wednesday at 11:30 in the morning. So that's one of the big things that's happening this coming week. There's other things in the bulletin for this coming week. Read them. A lot of prayer requests of different things. There's a couple of Jim Rolfe has lost his brother, and the funeral was last Thursday in Odebolt. And then we found out that Bobby Berry's sister died down in Arizona. And there's some other things that are pretty heavy things that are in the prayer section of the bulletin here today, that you can see the names and the Lord lead you and guide you as far as what he'd want you to do about them. And just one other thing too is that in the back table there is a trifold that has to do with grief share. It goes along that if you are struggling with grief because of someone who's died, it can be someone many years ago, not just someone that just recently has died. But it's just very helpful to be a part of Grief Share that will be starting on July 8th. It's on a Tuesday from 12:30 till 2 o'clock, meeting in the Fireside Room. If you'd like to be a part of that, Richard Mitski, stand up there, Richard, or wave your hand. There he is. He kind of leads it, as well as Kazan Kern, right here. Kazan. Suzanne Kern. Oh, man. I have a wedding for a Kazan in November, so that's how I got confused. Suzanne, right here. Just want to let you know that there's a trifold that tells you a lot more about what Grief Share is on the table in the back. Help yourself to that, or maybe even give it to someone that you might know that could be helped by Grief Share that is struggling with different things as well. And this will tell them what's going on. And then, of course, if you come across someone that would like to be a part of it, call Richard or see Richard Mitski so that he can know how many to plan for as well. I just think you do a great job, both you and Suzanne. And I appreciate what you are able to do with those that have come. And it's not only just for our church, it's for the community as well. We never know who's going to be coming. I know we had one guy that came all the way from Carroll, Iowa, which is a long ways from here. But he's got a place to live on the lakes up here. So you got some of those kind of people that go back and forth, but they're up here and they can work it in. They'll be here on a Tuesday to come and be a part of Grief Share. So keep that in mind as well. And there's many other things that are in your bulletin. And I want to just pray before I read the call to worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we are mindful today of a lot of different things that are happening in our world. And some of it, Lord, I just pray against evil. The evil that takes place, that we know that Satan and the devil is always anti-God. He will do anything to take people's lives as well. And so we pray against, Lord, all the evil that is taking place, not only in this world as we think of like around Iran and Israel and Ukraine and Russia, but we also think of, Lord, even in our own country, just with a lot of the rioting and the things that are taking place. And it's just evil. There's just a lot of evil that runs rampant. And sometimes, Lord, it can even be right here in Milford, Iowa. There can be evil. And I'm sure there is evil, different kinds that pops up its ugly head here and there. And sometimes it can happen even inside of a church. And so, Lord, we just want to pray against that whole area of things that are evil, because we know that you are a good God. There's nothing you have in store for us that is not good for us. And you are victorious over evil. You are victorious over death. And may that always be the message that we receive each time we come here to worship you together on a Sunday morning, that we see that you're a good God and can do things that are beyond our minds and comprehension. It's just for us to simply have faith in who Jesus Christ is as our Savior. It's so simple. And yet I'm so thankful, Lord, that you did not make anything complex. It's usually us who complicate things. So help us to see that we just need to believe and come to trust in Jesus with a faith that comes from knowing him in our hearts and our lives today and every day. So we just pray, Lord, that you would be with the leaders of many different countries and nations, that they would open their eyes to see the evil that they can be a part of, and come to know Jesus, who gives us real peace. We know that there will always be trials and tribulations in this world, but the real peace, the one that will last forever, is always found in your Son, Jesus Christ. So may he be the one that is always on the top of our minds and in our hearts each and every day. And it can even be today if we have not believed in him before. But may today be the start of a new faith, of a new journey with Christ as our Savior. As we even think about the fruits of the Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit, all nine of them that Marianne mentioned here today, can only come from you. We cannot make them happen in our own lives and our own strength. They're a gift from God given to each of us that we all need, and so do those around us need them as well. We only find them in Jesus Christ. So with that, Lord, we just lift up these things to you. Thank you for everyone that is here today, and we ask your blessing as always. In your name we pray. Amen. The call to worship today comes from Psalm chapter 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Amen. Thank you.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Our love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Response of reading is called The Comforter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that will be with you forever.
In the spirit of truth, the world cannot receive you, because it sees him not, nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you.
Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort,
who comforts us in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort others because he has comforted us. Amen. Wonderful words to know that it can be well with your soul today. If it's not, we want you to be able to say that and to know that it is true. Your soul can be at peace with God. That's why we come Sunday after Sunday, and it's not just because of this place, it's because of where you live and the people next to you and the people around you. But I invite you to stand just because it helps you to stay awake for what is coming next, the sermon. So please stand as I read the words. If you can stand, don't feel bad if you can't. That's okay too. Comes from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes. Could be called Gerasenes too. I believe either way you want to pronounce it, you can. Which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice. You know, I'm not going to do that. But he's shouting at the top of his voice, and this is what he says. "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, "because many demons have gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let him go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those attending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out of sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for incredible things that we read about and that we hear from your word, such as the passage here this morning. We can be thankful that it wasn't us or one of us to meet this guy. Once we got out of the boat and put our feet on the shoreline and to meet him, ay, ay, ay. Thank you that it was you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for what you can do here this morning in our lives as well. May this be a time in which we see you in a way that maybe we've never seen you before. But may we see you as the Son of the Most High God that will humble us and help us to see who you truly are today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, if you remember, how many remember last week's sermon? Raise your hand. Just what I thought. There are some. Oh, we heard root beer. I guess that would be true too. But last week, if you remember, the Pharisees told Jesus that he was a Samaritan and he was also someone who was demon-possessed. Remember that? And Jesus told them that he knew Abraham, who is the father of the Pharisees, who they really hold up high in regard of following. And then they said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say you know Abraham? Because he died many years ago, and the prophets as well. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth." It's important that he says that. I tell you the truth. I'm not lying. I tell you the truth. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And as soon as he said that, they picked up rocks. They picked up stones. They wanted to kill Jesus. So today's message is about not someone who we thought was demon-possessed, but it is someone who is. demon-possessed, and you're going to see a completely different story here. A whole different event that's taking place here. The demon-possessed man has a name that we will find out later on, because Jesus will ask him, what's your name? We know that his name is Legion. Jesus and his disciples, now in the context of where this is at in Luke, Luke is a doctor, he is also a historian, he's kind of going through the events, he wants to find out if this Jesus Christ really did live, did he really do some of these things, and he writes down what he's found out about Jesus, first-hand accounts or second-hand recounts. It is, what he's telling us is also inspired by the Holy Spirit in what he writes, so we know that God's word is the truth of what we need to hear to prepare us for what is to come. The context, we find that as Jesus and his disciples are in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, what happens once they get in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? There's a big storm. The raging waves. I mean, it's so much that the fishermen that are part of the disciples, they are afraid. Now, it takes a lot to get a fisherman afraid of high water. But they are afraid that they went to wake up Jesus. And I don't know how he can even be sleeping at a time like this. But Jesus is cool as a cucumber. Well, everyone else is in a real ruckus and going like, what's going on here? How can he be sleeping? We gotta save our lives here. But Jesus gets up and he calms the storm where the waves do not become troublesome anymore, but it calms, the wind dies down, and the disciples go like, who in the world is this guy? Even the waves listen to his voice. This is happening as they get to the other side and they come into contact. The first person that they meet is Legion. In Matthew's gospel, it says that there are two demon-possessed guys. But we find in Mark and Luke, there's only mention of one. It's because they kind of choose the most domineering one that was there of the two. But we don't hear anything in Luke's gospel that there were other two, because he just writes about the one, the worst one. They step on the shore, and you have to keep in your mind that the shore that they step on, it's not a Jewish area. Jews don't live in this area. It's a place known as the Decapolis. A Decapolis means that there are 10 little cities or 10 little villages in an area that is a place where Jesus and the disciples go to, and they're herding what? Pigs. So they're Gentiles. If they were Jews, they would not be herding pigs. Jews would be herding sheep or goats. Things that look a clean animal, not a dirty animal. And so you have some hog herders there watching these pigs on the hillside of this place. But it is interesting that we find that the person that they meet is someone that comes to them. His name is Legion. He's demon-possessed. And Luke gives us a description of this guy. There's some characteristics of someone that is demon-possessed in this particular place in Scripture. I mean, would you be noticing if this guy came running up to you and you had no clothes on? I mean, that's who this guy is. He's never worn clothes. He's known as being this kind of a character. He's naked as a jaybird. He comes running up to Jesus. He has no house that he lives in. More likely, he probably lives in some cave or some cavern that is places where they had tombs, they had a cemetery, but he would live in a cave. And in the cave, in some places, they've found that there are tombs inside the cave, But this is the place that was home to him. Naked, no home at all, living in a cemetery. Is there something strange about this guy, or is this normal? It's not normal. I asked this question, what did he eat? What does a guy who lives in a cemetery, how does he live? How does he eat when he gets hungry? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he came to Jesus and he fell at Jesus' feet. A sign of humility, a sign of help. Now, there's two things going on in this guy. Who he is as a person, but also he has been consumed by other demons that live within him as well. So there's part of him that he really wants to reach out to Jesus because he knows there's no other help that's there. But then it's the time when the demons take over and they do things with his body and in his body that he has no control over. I don't know if you understand that completely or not, because I don't understand that completely. Jesus, somewhere along the way, commanded the evil spirits to come out of him. Because many times the evil spirits had seized this guy and gave him incredible strength, better than Hulk Hogan or the Hulk himself. He would be tied up with chains. People have tried to keep this guy under wraps with chains, lock and key, guard him. And what would he do with those chains? He could break them. Incredible strength, because the demons that were within him would give him that kind of a strength. They held him both hand and foot, and the demons still got away. Broke those chains. And it's interesting that he would run away to a lonely place. So he'd go to a place of isolation. Interesting. That kind of goes along with demon possession too, being a loner, staying away from people, not going to where you could probably get some help, but running away from the very person or the place that could be of help to you. And looking at Jesus, it says that he shouted at the top of his voice. And this is again where demons come and have control over the person by using his own vocal cords, his own way of communicating, making him shout the top of his voice. Is that normal? No, it's not. So the demons are taking over in his body and he's shouting out, and what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? It's like demons know who Jesus is more so than other people do. And Jesus simply asks him, with all of this going on, what's your name? What's your name? There's a few other things I'd rather say than that. It was up to me. But Jesus treats this guy in a way that is incredible. What's your name? He answers Jesus and he says, Legion. Legion refers to a Roman army consisting of thousands of soldiers. A legion in the time of the Roman Empire, legion would be anywhere from 3 to over 6,000 soldiers. And he knows that he has many demons within him. His name is Legion. Doesn't say how many demons are within him, but it's a lot. The demons feared Jesus and they begged Jesus repeatedly, which means over and over again, they pleaded with Jesus not to send them to the abyss. Now, what's an abyss? The abyss is a place of chaos. It's also known as the abode and the prison of evil beings. It's kind of like Hades in the Greek, the abode of the death, of the dead ones. They did not want to go there. And so they tell Jesus, don't send us to the abyss. They know he could do that. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into what they saw was a large herd of pigs on the hillside. They would rather go and live inside the pigs than to go anywhere else. And so Jesus said, okay, leave this guy and you can go and make yourself at home in all those pigs over there on the hillside. Because there was pig herders, hog herders that were watching these pigs. So they kind of saw what was going on here. The demons left the man and they entered the pigs. And I don't think the demons understood what was going to happen here. But the pigs didn't even like these demons inside of them. The pigs took off, started running down the hill, went over the steep bank, and they plunged into the lake, and they all drowned. Doesn't say what happened to the demons after this. They lost their place of the pigs. But the scripture does say that the pig herders ran to the town to report what had happened to all of their pigs that are now floating dead in the lake. And the people rushed out to see if their story was true or what had taken place. They went out there. They found it just as what they had been told. And then after seeing all that took place there, here comes the saddest part of the whole story. They saw Jesus after looking at the pigs drowning or trying to swim, but they knew it wasn't going to be good after their whole economy is wiped out. But they saw Jesus and another man together. Only this time it says that this man, who is called Legion, is sitting at Jesus' feet. And he had clothes on. He's dressed. He was not shouting at the top of his lungs anymore. There was peace that came over him. Just like the storm on the Sea of Galilee, how Jesus rebuked the waves and the wind, and it became calm. Legion here is now dressed, calm, and in his right mind. Peaceful. Amazing. He was cured miraculously. Healed from being demon-possessed. It's the only way you can understand what happened here. There's no way he would be this way if he was still demon-possessed. So I wonder if they called him by a different name after this. You know, Levi's name was changed to what? Matthew. Simon's name was changed to what? Peter. Saul's name was changed to Paul. I wonder if Legion's name, because there was many, kind of became like Hans Solo. One in Christ. One. Solo. Instead of celebrating this wonderful act of deliverance, of demon possession, the people in this community couldn't get over the loss of their hogs. And instead of celebrating, the man who is there, fully clothed, not screaming at the top of his lungs anymore, at peace, in his right mind, the people voted for the hogs who were dead instead. And they told Jesus, get away, get out of here. We don't want you around this place anymore. That's the saddest thing that could ever be said. When Jesus comes to you and you say to him, get out of here. Stay away from me. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You're no different than these guys, what they said to Jesus after delivering the demon-possessed man. It is very interesting, I find, that even though they told Jesus to leave them, and as he and the disciples are going into the boat, who is it that wants to go with Jesus and the disciples? The guy who has been delivered from demon possession. And Jesus tells this guy to do something that is the hardest thing for any one of us to do. He tells him, you can't come with us. You have to go back home. I mean, where's that at? Who in their right mind as family members would even want to claim this guy to come back to live with them? But he's to go back to where there is family or relatives, or the community knew who he was. But he wanted him to go back and to tell everybody he could find what God, the good things, the great things that God had done for him. The hardest thing to do is to go back and to tell your immediate family, your relatives, what God has done for you, right? You always hope someone else can do that. But God, Jesus says, go back to your family. Tell them all the great things that God has done for you. So in some ways, Jesus leaves, but he's leaving a missionary to stay there, to deal and to be a light, to share his testimony amongst the people who knew him. And Jesus did leave a little bit in the guy's heart. He left him the Holy Spirit, who can bring about and give you power and strength like the fruits of the Spirit, where people can see this guy has really changed. This person is not at all like he used to be. So Jesus hears, get out of here. But he leaves the demon-possessed man, Legion, to stay and to share with them. What's really interesting, too, is that following his deliverance, he's never referred to as Legion again. He's always referred to as the man. The man. You will not find his name ever again. The man, go back. He was fully healed. And I want to believe that as he went to share what God had done for him in the midst of his community and his family and his relatives, that he would bear the witness to that amazing hymn that we've sung so many times called Amazing Grace, where it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. That would be his testimony. I once was a demon-possessed guy. Now I am one of you. Only God has delivered me and is working in my life, and I'm different than what I used to be. And maybe that person is you. Maybe that person is you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we never know how you work in our lives, and we never know sometimes what we're going to hear on a Sunday morning as well. But we do know this, is that you came and you died on the cross for each and every one of us. It is still you that also asks us, what's your name? You can do amazing things. And calling us by our name, and sometimes it's just like, oh, you're a child of God. I want to change your name to knowing that you're a child of God. That's all you have to say. I'm a child of God. And to tell others what you have done and forgiven me of my sins and leading me and guiding me on this journey known as life. And so, Lord, all I can say is, use me. Use me. And there will be things that you'll encounter that you wish you'd never have to be used to do. But because Jesus says, I will work in you, give you what you need, I'll give you what you need to say, we just say, okay. Here we go. I'm trusting in you. So, Lord, there may be someone here this morning that you are speaking to his or her heart. Many of us here could say, well, I've never been demon-possessed, but then there could be someone here that says, yeah, I guess that's me. I'm one way here in church, and I'm a different person outside of these walls. I don't know if I'm demon-possessed or not, but I sure do change colors. Or maybe just change who I am as a person when I'm with other people. That's where I know I'm not following you. So, Lord, work as only you can in knowing that you are gentle, you are kind, you are forgiving. There's nothing that surprises you. You know everything about us and then some. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. So come right now, Lord, and we invite you to come into our hearts. Come into my life. To be my Lord and to be my Savior. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction as it is stated in Numbers, the very end of chapter 6 of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Darren, right?
Yes.
Okay. Turn this off here.